Hey, good morning, everybody. So nice to see everyone on our call today. This is the year-to-date economic review and our market outlook. And again, thank you for taking time from your day to join myself and my colleagues. For those of you who do not know me, which I think you all do, my name is Michael Chyka. I'm the co-founder and CEO of Malvern Capital Management. I have my colleague and partner, Jim Olson. Jim is our Chief Investment Officer. My colleague Lou Iovannoni, Executive Vice President, and Jenny Shapiro, who is our Chief Operating Officer and frankly just keeps the firm running smooth. Today's call is going to last about 30 minutes, and we're actually going to be accepting questions after Jim's presentation. After the presentation, if you have a question, just raise your hand. There's a little icon at the bottom. It's a raise your hand question. And then when we get you into the queue, I'll just go ahead and I'll turn off your or turn on your audio. Given that we will be taking questions today from the audience and it will be audience participation, I do have a short disclaimer to read to satisfy our good folks in compliance. So bear with me a second. The information presented today is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make any offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any security, investment, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. The information expressed today does not consider your specific situation or objectives and is not intended as a recommendation appropriate for any individual. Listeners are encouraged to seek advice from a qualified tax or legal advisor to determine whether any information presented today is suitable for their specific situation. Past performance is not a guarantee of future performance. This call is being recorded and the audio portion will be available on our website by the end of the week. So having said that, today's call is going to focus on three topics. First is going to be the outlook for the market going forward in the remainder of the year and possibly into the first quarter of next year. A lot of talk about the Federal Reserve, so we're going to talk about the impact of the Federal Reserve. And then, the big one is there a recession developing or looming? And this is actually a very interesting topic because one of the things I do before I present and we present these calls is I like to go back and look at our previous calls. And what's interesting is that this topic has been on our radar and part of our discussion since 2021. So it's been on, our calls that we have for clients for, almost 3 years. And since then, our stance has really not changed. As we didn't think we're going into a recession. We've stayed fully invested. And, we're going to see what Jim has to say later on to see if that has changed. Before I do turn the call over to Jim, I want to address a few operational issues. First, it's been several quarters since we've had a global client call. And as I just mentioned, the reasoning for that is that there's really nothing new to report from where we sit. We believe that the market and the economy is in a good place and has been in a good place for the last year. And for that, we've stayed fully invested. And like I said, Jim's going to talk a little bit about that here in a bit. We also received a good suggestion from one of our clients about accessing the Malvern Capital portal. Now you can go directly to our website. And if you're not familiar with our website, it's malverncap.com. You can go ahead. There's a Jenny put a button on there to access your portal account. You can go ahead and put your credentials in there and it will automatically take you to the Malvern Capital portal. As a side note, if you don't have a portal set up, please email Jenny. Jenny will go ahead and get that set up for you. Whenever we bring on a new client, we automatically set that up for you, but it has to be initialized. So take the moment to go ahead and do that if you haven't done so already. And the importance of that is that we like to deliver all of our regulatory correspondence and your quarterly wealth management report through the portal. So at this point, I'm going to turn the call over to Jim. Jim's going to talk about, again, three topics, the outlook for the markets, impact of the Federal Reserve, and then is a recession developing? So Jim, first topic, outlook for the markets for the remainder of the year. Why don't you go ahead and chat a little bit about that?
Yeah, so the markets look very expensive right now. The trailing price-to-earnings ratio on the market, the S&P 500, is 25 times earnings, and the average 30-year average price earnings ratio is 19.8. So it's about 20% overvalued right now. And that's also supported by forward P/E ratio. If we look 12 months from now at what earnings expectations are, the forward price earnings ratio is 21.4 times earnings, and the 30-year average forward PE ratio is 16.7. So again, it kind of suggests about a 20% overvaluation. Also, right now the dividend yield on the S&P 500 is 1.26%, and it tends to normally be closer to 2%. And another valuation measure that we look at is the PEG ratio, and the PEG ratio is the price earnings ratio divided by the 5-year growth rate. And that's currently 1.62 on the S&P 500, which normally you look at anything over 1x as being expensive. So it seems to be a kind of an extreme level. However, one thing we can point to that these ratios don't really look at is the effect of interest rates. And one model that we look at is the Fed model, which kind of encompasses interest rates into the valuation of the market. And what the Fed model says is if the earnings yield on stocks is less than the yield on the 10-year treasury, the market is expensive. If the 10-year treasury is less than the earnings yield, the market is inexpensive. And right now, the earnings yield on the S&P 500 is 4%, with the 10-year treasury yield at about 3.78%. So that suggests the market is a little expensive based on interest rates. So it gives you kind of an impact of lower rates. When we looked at this back at the end of the last quarter, the 10-year was actually higher than the earnings yield. So it also suggested an expensive market. So that's kind of come into our favor. And I think is kind of an overriding factor here is the effect of interest rates. Markets can be expensive and they can get even more expensive. And I think that's what we're looking at over the next few months at least. Now, that having been said, one thing we are in kind of the seasonal period right now where the market tends to be weak. But what I mean is September usually is a negative month for the markets, and there's a lot of theories of why that is, and I'm not going to go into those, but it tends to be weak. We're actually having a positive September, which suggests that October is going to be weak, because usually if September is positive, it's followed by a weak October. And I think we're going to see some selling pressure in the month of October. But again, it's seasonality. I think there'll be some jitters going into the election. There'll be some profit taking. Mutual funds books close out at the end of October, so there's a lot of tax loss selling that will go on. And I think it sets us up for the market really accelerating in the last 2 months of the year. And a couple of reasons is we'll have the certainty of the election over. The election will be over November 5th. November 6th, we should wake up and know who the next president is going to be. Regardless of who you're in favor of, we'll know who it is. And the other thing is November, the same week as the election, the Federal Reserve meets, and they will I expect them to cut rates again by 25 basis points in November, and again another quarter point in December. So I think that'll be very positive for the markets going forward, at least for the next few months. So we see a weak October followed by a strong year-end rally in the last 2 months of the year. So that's I think where we're at on that.
Hey, Jim, one sort of follow-up question to your point when you do your research. And again, as we sit around and we have an investment committee meeting usually once a month, once every couple of months, and Jim leads that and prepares his thesis and outlook. The one question I have that really just started to pop up since the Fed cut rates at a half of a percent or 50 basis points, even though the seasonality in September and October tend to be negative, Taking out and going out a little further, based on your analysis, I would, if I can summarize, it seems like the outlook is still even a little much better than what we originally thought because of the perceived, or at least the interest rate cuts coming forward.
Well, I would agree. Looking forward, I really think there'll be some choppiness in October, but I think the market is going to look forward to the further rate cuts, and that's going to push stocks higher. So I think we get through this next month. I could be completely wrong and the market takes off in October. I don't expect that, but we could see that. I still think we're going to finish strong to the year. For various reasons. Fourth year of an election cycle tends to be very positive, and that's what we're at right now. So just a lot of factors are in our favor right now, more seasonal factors that will benefit the markets going forward.
Okay, great. So the next topic is the impact of the Federal Reserve. I mean, obviously, for the last few years, we've been in an increased interest rate environment, which, most would think that that would really be detrimental to the market. But in fact, it's almost seemed like, the market in general has sort of, really not taking that into consideration. So, looking at, the Federal Reserve, I mean, how do you see that playing out, both short term and again, sort of a follow up to the last question, moving forward into 2025?
Well, we just did a half a percentage, full percent, half percentage rate cut a couple of weeks ago or last week. And as I said, I expect further cuts in November, December. I actually expect that the Fed is going to continue cutting rates into 2025, which is going to be beneficial to the markets. I see a lot of parallels today to the markets in 1994 and 1995. The Federal Reserve raised rates three full percentage points between February 1994 and February 1995. And then they, in July of 1995, they began to cut rates. What happened for the following 6 months after it started cutting rates? Stocks, the S&P 500 gained 11.3% in those 6 months. Large cap stocks outperformed. So the bigger stocks did better than smaller stocks, but not by much. The Russell 1000 index, which is index of large cap stocks, rose 11.46%, while the Russell 2000, which is an index of small company stocks, rose by 9.05%. But large caps nonetheless did better. Value stocks outperform. So there's two types of stocks. There's value stocks, which are stocks that tend to sell for their intrinsic value. And then there's growth stocks, which tend to sell based on expected earnings growth. Well, we've been in a growth market for the last few years where the growth stocks have done really well. But in the 1990s, mid-1990s, value stocks outperformed when interest rates were cut. And I would tend to agree that that's going to happen again. We're going to see a shift rotation into more value oriented stocks. Healthcare was the top performing sector. Not sure why. There were a lot of things going on at that time, but the healthcare sector re returned over 26% in those 6 months following the beginning of rate cuts. International stocks underperformed. And I think part of the reason for that underperformance was that the dollar also strengthened at the same time when we had rate cuts. I think we'll see the dollar strengthen again with these rate cuts. So that may cause few problems for international, although I like international a lot, especially emerging markets right now. And then also bonds posted strong gains over that 6 month period in the 1990s. And I expect that to repeat again. Lower rates are good for bonds. High quality bonds returned 5.25%, and junk bonds returned over 6% in those 6 months. So I expect. Oh, and also real estate did very well. Real estate investment trust. I don't want to forget that. Did very well, and I think that's an area that's going to do very well. And we do have that in our client portfolios, exposure to real estate investment trusts. So what happened in the 6 months following that rate cut, when the rate cuts concluded, the market still did well, but they were kind of muted gains. After the Fed stopped raising rates, the S&P still continued to go up, but only that following 6 months, only about 6.6%. So it just kind of shows you the impact of cutting interest rates on the markets.
Great. So I guess, we'll get to the third topic, which is, and this is always, as I said earlier in my presentation, this has always been on our client presentations for the last 3 years since 2021. And again, I guess one of the nice things about owning your own firm and having a boutique institutional firm is that as partners, we're not beholden to bring Big Brother's story and what we need to articulate from a high level to clients. Everything that we do is done in-house, all the research, all of our opinions, all of our newsletters. We don't outsource any of that. I mean, with the skill sets that our entire group has, we're able to make what we call very good, we think, decisions and opinions on the outlook. And so, in 2021, when the whole world was calling for a recession, we were one of the few firms that stuck to our guns, stayed fully invested, and played that out. So, Jim, the big question again is, are we in the midst of a recession?
Well, what I'm going to do is just discuss some of the facts out there right now. There's some negative facts and some positive facts. Yesterday, consumer confidence was reported to have fallen in the month of September to the most it's fallen in 3 years. So that's not a very good sign. The Conference Board's leading economic indicators, the LEI, which is intended to show shifts in the business cycle and give us insight into where the economy is going, that's been declining over recent months. And the Institute for Supply Management publishes two surveys, a manufacturing survey and a services survey. And those are supposed to give us an indication of where the economy is going. The manufacturing survey has come in at in June came in at 48.5. Any reading under 50 is considered recessionary. Now, the services sector survey actually is over 50 right now, but that's a con those are concerns there. We also have what's called an inverted yield curve. What that means is longer term rates are actually lower than shorter term rates. That's the inversion. And when you have an inverted yield curve, that seems to historically indicate a recession is looming. Now, we can say that it's been showing this for, I guess it's about 793 days now where the yield curve has been inverted and we still haven't had a recession. So it might be an unusual time because usually the recession shows up within 12 to 24 months of the yield curve inversion. So we're well past that at this point. So those are on the negative side, some of the factors on the negative side. But on the positive side, we're still seeing solid GDP or gross domestic product growth. So that's a positive. And the unemployment rate remains very low, even though we've seen a half a percentage point increase in over the last few months in the unemployment rate, it's still historically very low. And we also had a negative here with the adjustment of the jobs too, but still the job growth has been very strong. So the question is, has the Federal Reserve orchestrated a soft landing, meaning that they've crushed inflation without sending us into a recession, or a hard landing where they've caused a are going to cause a recession by their rate increases. And I really think we're going to avoid a recession this time. Again, I think the Fed has done an excellent job in handling inflation here, and I think that we will avoid a recession. But if by some chance we do see one, I don't see it until early 2025, and I see it being very mild and having very little impact on the markets. That's where I'm
Okay. All right. So we're going to open this up for questions right now. So I guess what we'll do is, again, if you're familiar with the Zoom, there at the bottom, there's a raise your hand icon. Just go ahead and click that on, and then we'll just take the questions in order. But what I'll do is, in the interim, while we're waiting for a question or two, I'll ask one question from a client who is not able to participate today on the call, but I figured that we would go ahead and ask it. And this tends we tend to get this question from new clients, and Jim sort of addressed this during his presentation. But the question asks, with the market continuing to hit new highs, are we as investors or managers, are we worried about investing portfolios at these high levels? So, Jim, I know the answer to that, and you sort of alluded a little bit to that. So why don't you go ahead and respond to that, and we'll see if we have any questions.
Yeah, I think our objective here is to be fully invested at this point. Yeah, the market does seem expensive, but lower rates make the market attractive. And I think we need to keep invested and keep investing. So as new dollars come in, we need to put those to work. I don't think we're, with rates dropping, the attractiveness of other alternatives it is becoming less. So going into cash or even bonds are less attractive as rates decline. So stocks are the only game in town right now.
Great, thanks. Okay, folks. So again, if you have a question, go ahead and hit the raise your hand, and I'll turn your volume on, and you can ask a question about any one of the group. Anyone? No? Okay. Well, we have a couple of minutes. Again, if you still want to ask a question, you can go ahead and click it. So, Jim, I guess we got a big event coming up. Do you want to talk maybe a few moments about the election?
Yeah, I think I get this question a lot from clients: who's better for the market, Trump or Harris? And my answer generally is it doesn't matter who wins. The market will adjust and will perform well based on corporate earnings and a strong economy that we see in the future. And I think you need to vote who you have a passion for and not worry about what it's going to do to the markets. Because once there's certainty on November 6th, the markets are going to adjust and they're going to perform well regardless of who is the president. And history does kind of bode this out well. Markets do well with both Republican and Democrat presidents, Republican Congresses, and Democrat Congresses. And actually, the best markets are under mixed government, where we have presidents in one party and the Congress in the other party. That tends to be the best. I don't know what's going to happen. The polls are pretty mixed right now and kind of don't give us a lot of guidance on who's going to win. But November 6th, we'll know, and the markets will adjust accordingly.
Yeah, thanks, Jim. And I'd also add one thing too. I mean, from a political perspective, I mean, Malvern Capital as a group, we are politically agnostic. We don't care. In fact, I mean, we have clients that are far left, far right, everybody in between, independents. I mean, you name it, we have them. But the interesting thing is, as Jim said, the market actually likes certainty. And when you have uncertainty, that is when you start to get into a lot of volatility in the market. But you have three branches of government. Unless all three branches are of the same political side, basically nothing gets done. And again, that's been sort of the case for the last few years, and that's actually been reflected in the market. So I'll leave it with that. So we have a question from Ron Cappuccio. Ron, I'm going to unmute you. Let's see.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yeah, there we go, Ron. Go ahead.
Perfect. My question is for Jim. Harris has proposed, as has Elizabeth Warren, and I'm a tax attorney, by the way, so I view the world of taxes, as Elizabeth Warren has, and as Biden and many of the Democrats, to eliminate the stepped-up basis, not only to reduce the estate tax exemption down to 3.5 million, but to also eliminate basis adjustment. So how is that going to affect between that and the proposed increase in capital gains? At first she said 44%, now she's at 33%. If she does get elected, won't those have very significant impacts on the market? And if not, why not?
Well, yeah, that can have an impact on the market, as people, adjust. Right now, a lot of people put off gains forever and never realize those gains because when they die, they would get the step up in basis. If that goes away, that could have an impact on people selling sooner rather than later. Making adjustments in their portfolio because it won't matter anymore whether they hold off. Taxes do have an impact on the markets, and that could have some adverse effect on valuations for the markets. So that's one of those factors that would be, when we have certainty and know who's going to win, who Congress is going to be, we'll know a little bit better. Quite honestly, I don't think that will ever pass. I think there's too much pressure on both sides not to do away with the stepped up in basis. So I that's been brought out in the past and has never been put into law. So I don't think it will be at this time. I'm confident that won't get put into law.
Jim, I do hate to correct you, but the 1976 Tax Reform Act eliminated the stepped-up basis. And at that time, and so we had an elimination of that for the first until Reagan was elected, actually, where they then reversed it because it was next to impossible for practitioners to get all the information and figure out what basis was in some simple assets. And remember, at that time, there was only a $60,000 exemption, and then everyone else had to file a 706 estate tax return. So, yes, they
Right.
have tried it in the past. And frankly, tax lawyers and accountants screamed and said, this doesn't work. But
Right.
nowadays, one of our arguments is that we don't have the information. Well, nowadays we do have a lot more information. Most people can now determine what their basis is in their stock portfolios because the companies, report it directly. And as far as real estate goes, depending on how long they've held, but for the past 4 or 5 decades, at least in New Jersey, where I'm from, and in most states, they require you to put the amount of the purchase price right on the deed itself. Even if other documents are lost, it's still there. So a lot of things do have basis information that we didn't have before. So
Right.
it did happen, and that's what my big fear is. That would be a total disaster for a lot of people. And especially small business owners as well as investors. And you said it might have some adverse impact. Well, some adverse impact could be 1%. I'm thinking, when you say some adverse impact, you think percentages? What do you think? I'm trying to pin you down here a little bit, but
Yeah,
that's my.
I haven't really, studied that to see what the actual percentage impact would be. So I don't want to give a percentage or numbers without really having looked at this. But that's something we can examine and see what that could be. Now, as I recall, the 70s were kind of before my time, but I do remember that the markets were pretty bad in the 1970s, as I recall, until about 1982. So I don't know what impact that had on stock prices and other asset prices at that time, but it's certainly something to look at.
I would love to hear your results when you do look at it, because I
We'll do
think it's,
that. We'll
I appreciate it.
okay.
That good, Ron?
Thank you. That's perfect. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Thanks, Ron. Okay, Monica, I'm going to go ahead and unmute you. Let's see.
Okay, it's my husband Dave has a question or comment.
Sure.
Yeah, we're new to your group a little bit, so I was just wondering about the strategy you guys use to reallocate holdings, either during a good time or during when a recession may be imminent. Is that customer driven, or is it you guys driving the
Changes.
changes in allocations?
So it is us driving those changes in allocations. And those of you who were with us in 2022 probably recall that we did make some changes at the beginning of the year where we raised cash in anticipation of a weak market in 2022. And in fact, the markets were pretty weak in 2022. And we put that cash back to work. Now, we're not market timers, but we raised 8 to 10% cash levels in our client accounts at that time. And by the fourth quarter, we put it back to work. And that was timing was pretty good on that. But so there is an example of where we've done that. We've been pretty optimistic about markets since 2022. So we haven't made those changes, but if we do see something that concerns us, we're not afraid to make some tactical changes in our portfolios.
And I would also add that, as Jim said, we are by no means market timers. We've never seen that ever work in our 40-year careers. But what we do do is, from a global perspective and from a top-down perspective or a firm basis, we'll drive an investment policy across the firm as to whether we think the markets are going to deteriorate, if we're going to move into a value market as opposed to a growth. And then what will happen is then you will see some subtle changes within your portfolio. And as Jim said, if next year is going to be a value market, we may lighten up on the growth holdings that you have and take a more heavier weighting towards the value holdings that you have. But outside any what I would call some black swan event or something that is unforeseeable, we tend to stick to the guns, and we make subtle changes across the board here and there. But again, once a portfolio is invested, we tend to be pretty consistent with that portfolio for the long term.
Okay, great. Thank you.
You're welcome. Are there any other questions? Anybody? No? Okay, guys. Well, look, I really appreciate my partners. We all appreciate you sitting on the call today. As you know, November 5th is election day. Regardless of what side of the aisle you sit on, get out and vote. And everybody here at Malvern Capitals, thank you for your business and your trust. As always, if you have any questions, don't hesitate to reach out to any of us. You have our emails, our cell phone, our office numbers. And again, we thank you very much for everything. You guys have a great day, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.